It's another fall weekend in the U.S., and that means tailgating. By all accounts, tailgating is at an all-time high in popularity. You might even be listening to our show right now from a wonderland of folding chairs, portable grills, and coolers. If that's the case, don't be surprised if you encounter some sort of advertising as you chow down on that burger or enjoy the beverage. From WFAE in Charlotte, Scott Graff has more now on one of the newest frontiers in sports marketing.
Don't let Bernard Arthur's accent fool you. He's a native of South Africa, but now lives in North Carolina. And judging by what he, his wife, and three friends spent on a recent tailgate, he's got this American tailgating thing down pat.
Somewhere in the region of about $200, $250, that's about what we would spend between food and drinks and, you know, everything else that goes along with it.
Arthur and his group drink beer and play cornhole in the sunshine before a recent NASCAR race in Charlotte. Catch Arthur on the Sunday morning of a Carolina Panthers home game, and he'll be tailgating there, too. Altogether, Arthur guesses he spends between $1,000 and $2,000 each year on tailgating. And to him, it's money well spent.
There's a sense of being a social being, right? So you want to get out there and be part of the atmosphere. I think when you think of going to any sporting event or any tailgating event, there's a camaraderie of who you support and getting out there and being a part of the group.
About 51 million people tailgate every year in the United States. They spend about $20 billion a year.
That's Joe O'Brien. He knows a thing or two about tailgating. One, he lives in Minnesota and has downed plenty of beer and brats before Vikings, Gophers, and Twins games. And two, he helps run the St. Paul-based American Tailgaters Association. It's an organization dedicated to those who love to eat and drink outside before sporting events. And he says these days, that group is bigger than ever.
Tailgating used to be viewed as kind of a fringe group of people. The popular perception was that it was a bunch of crazy people out in the parking lot drinking too much beer, having a lot of fun, making a lot of noise. The fact is it's evolved into a very family-oriented, very socially acceptable pastime.
As tailgating has grown, advertisers have taken note. O'Brien says he first started noticing TV ads aimed at tailgaters about 5 years ago. And with every year, he sees more and more.
Hey, I'm Ndamukong Suh, and I think no matter where you're tailgating, it's always great when you're serving Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating.
Watch a football game this weekend, and you're likely to see ads like this one, or ones promoting charcoal or car insurance or even portable generators. And it's not just TV advertising. Part of what O'Brien does at the American Tailgaters Association is connect sponsors to sports fans by actually organizing huge tailgates. In North Carolina, Todd Hirschfeld runs a similar body, the National Tailgating League. Beer, barbecue sauce, and even companies that sell pain relievers hire him to get their products into the hands of tailgaters.
Some of these clients are more interested in getting, you know, hand-to-hand combat or one-to-one interaction with the consumer. They're going to have a much better chance doing it in the tailgate parking lot than they are inside a stadium of 160,000 people through a billboard or through, you know, something inside the track.
Hirschfeld and O'Brien both hold up sausage maker Johnsonville as a leader in this arena. Jim Miller is a marketing manager for Johnsonville. He says when you're selling brats, stadium signs and TV ads are okay to a point. But by targeting tailgaters at the game, Johnsonville is able to put its product right into the hands, make that mouths, of a huge target audience.
Because we believe when we get people to try our product, we build fans.
The strategy makes a lot of sense to Paul Swangard. He's a sports marketing professor at the University of Oregon. He says reaching out to people while they're having fun is smart advertising.
You know, you're not yet focused on the game, but your passions are running deep. You're excited about what's going to happen. You know, you haven't been yet disappointed by a bad performance of your team on the field. You're surrounded in a community of friends and companies, you know, would love to communicate with you when you're in that frame of mind, and then you have a, you know, a viable way to maybe sell some more product on the back end of that experience.
But does this kind of advertising actually work? It depends on who you ask. Swangard and those who spend money on it say yes, if it's done right. But Bernard Arthur, the fan we met earlier, isn't so sure. In the sky above his NASCAR tailgate, airplanes pulled big, bright banners.
I just asked a question a second ago, so I was watching the planes overhead, wondering, okay, why is Geico and why is Wells Fargo, like, who's really paying attention to that? I just asked a group that, and I don't know if anyone's paying attention to that.
Arthur goes on to say he thinks a more effective way of advertising to sports fans is in the grocery store when they're there actually stocking up for their tailgate. Meanwhile, the American Tailgaters Association says research it's done suggests the number of Americans who tailgate is growing by about 3 or 4% each year. And as that happens, so does the likelihood that those who tailgate will see even more advertising aimed squarely at them. For Only a Game, I'm Scott Graff in Charlotte.
He's lighting up the charcoal lights and down the long necks, acting a fool with a bunch of crazy rednecks, partying harder than all the frat boys around. All bets are off once you put the tailgate down. Cover his body in war paint.
Put a phone. It's 19 minutes past the hour. Go on and hike the Alps if you've the legs to make the trip. It's best to be quite careful because you wouldn't want to slip. But hike across the Alps if you've the money for the stuff that you will need to keep the hike from being really rough. But though this is a lot to know, it isn't quite enough. You cannot hike the Alps, my friend, if you are in the buff. A fellow trying to do that found that what I've said is true. A judge in Zurich fined him, and he'll do the same to you. So if you hike the Alps someday, as everybody knows, you'll want to wear your hiking boots and also all your clothes.